Okay, next item on the agenda is item number 7, report, discussion, and possible action from the RFPG on update from Region 8 technical consultant as it relates to 7.1 updates on tasks 1 through 11 and report submittal, 7.2 update on tasks 12 and 13, 7.3 budget and schedule discussion and possible amendment. Sam.
Good morning, everyone. Good to be here and see all the congratulations on those of you in your positions. It's exciting to continue to work with you and those who have these new positions. It'd be great to work with you as well. Mr. Wade already went over what we'll be talking about, and so I'll just dive right in. So just looking at our overall timeline, where we are, the report was submitted, the final plan was submitted this month in January on the 10th. We do have the document posted online if anyone would like to see the final document that was submitted. And so just showing you where we are, you see we're right here in January and where we need to be by July to submit the amended plan. So we're full in on the amended plan and working to get that going. We'll have a little update on that. So just for tasks 1 through 11, just want to say congratulations to the group for getting that done and submitting it. We did receive confirmation from the Texas Water Development Board that the report had been received and they will review the final submittals. We did address all the comments that they had given us, which were in two tiers, a tier 1 and a tier 2. We did address all of them. And provide responses to all those to the Texas Water Development Board. But we look forward to see if there's any other comments from them moving forward. So we're excited that that is complete. And once again, congratulations to the group here on that huge milestone. And it's a step in preparing a state flood plan for Texas, which is very important. So with that, I did want to bring up, and we don't have to vote on it here. I think it's an agenda item. I just want to update you on what we're talking about with a budget adjustment. So if you recall, tasks 1 through 11, or tasks 1 through 10 originally, were to be completed by the end of December of 2022. And then when the amendment came, which was tasks 11, 12, and 13, task 11 was additional outreach and engagement with communities, and that was to be completed by the end of December as well. So we had come to you back in December with the possibility of moving some funds over that might be remaining, and we decided to table that. Because we didn't, it looked like we would not have much left to move over. But right now, we do have some funds that are left with tasks 1 through 11. And so the number is $46,000 and $46,057.43. That's the amount that we have left in tasks 1 through 11. And so there's an amendment. You'll see the opportunity to vote on that in the next agenda item. But I just want to present that to you, that we would like to move those funds over into tasks 12 and 13. So just to give you an update on that, it was just we've addressed everything from task 1 through 11 is complete from our end. We'd like to move that over. So we can discuss that in the agenda item, Pam, I believe, whenever that comes up. So let me continue on with the updates. We do want to give you an update on where things are on tasks 12 and 13, how that money can then be used also for some of the flood warning modeling as well, or analysis, I'm sorry, that we'll be doing at the request of the group. And so I'd like to see if Ryan is available to give an update on tasks 12 and 13. I know he's having some technical issues on his end, so we'll give it a shot.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. There's some delay between the video and the audio on our end. I just wanted to make sure that things are good before I proceed.
Yes, looks good on my end.
Okay. Jane, would you mind controlling the slides? Great, thanks. All right, so I just wanted to give an update on task 12. For the first part, I want to kind of go over the schedule. We are in the process of doing the existing conditions modeling for the regional watershed models. We plan on being completed with those in March. We are doing, I guess, a check-in in February, probably in a few weeks, to see where our progress is and see if we can actually fit in a third regional study. So we'll kind of look at our burn rate, what has been completed to date, and see if we have additional time in our schedule to squeeze another one in. So that will be next in the next few weeks, but we will be completing the modeling in March. Then we will talk about potential problem areas and potential projects associated with those two regional studies in April, and then we will finalize those in May so that we can get those FMPs into the amended flood plan by June and then submit the amended flood plan in July. So that's our schedule to date for task 12. So an update on the actual studies themselves. The two green polygons on the image to the right are the two areas that we're currently studying. If you recall, Comanche Indian and Lampasas Sulfur. Again, based off of what we can determine with our scheduling in the next couple of weeks, we may end up adding one of those maroon polygons into our regional studies. So next slide. So Comanche Indian, we are currently, again, modeling this area. As you can see from the map, there's one population center, which is Comanche. It's about 5,000 people. And Indian Creek runs along the southern end or the southern side of this city, and it crosses three major thoroughfares that enter the city from the south end. And so we think that that's where our project focus will be, is along the Comanche or around that population center. If you can go to the next one. And then Lampasas Sulfur Creek Watershed Regional Study. Again, one major population center, which is at Lampasas. So this is west of Copper's Cove. There is Sulfur Creek that runs through the middle of the city. And then there's several tributaries to that creek that all converge and merge within the city area. So again, with this, we expect the problem area to be located within the city and those that area where those creeks converge together. Next slide. So we've completed our data collection. TWDB has provided a wealth of public information as far as regional flood planning effort, and we've utilized a lot of that with this modeling effort. One thing, so that includes terrain, rainfall, building footprints was a big one. We were going to commence with using the public land use data, but it was kind of spotty and low resolution. So we spent a few weeks developing our own land use. Our GIS team has a tool to create our own land use shapefile that gives us a much finer resolution. So hopefully that will give us a lot more accurate results on our random mesh modeling, both for infiltration and for friction calculations in the riverine modeling. So data collection is essentially complete. We are in the process of developing the models. The image on the right is just a snippet of what that looks like, what a standard 2D model looks like. We are not going to get into the weeds, but we are basically adding refinement to the model, and then whenever we complete a first pass at developing these models, we'll come in and do a closer look and add additional level of detail at the population centers that I had discussed before. And again, we're using Atlas 14 rainfall. We're using the latest data, best and latest data as far as land use, terrain, and all that kind of stuff. Rain on mesh being applied directly to the model. We'll be developing frequency, synthetic frequency events for the 5-year, 10-year, 50, 100, and 500-year. And then we are using the NRCS curve number for our infiltration and runoff calculations. So just kind of a broader review of our modeling. So yeah, question, Shiji?
Yes, sir. Ryan, why do we need a 5-year? That's not a FEMA study stream, right?
It will give us a better understanding of the BCA. If we have more storm events, especially in the lower events, we can kind of see a better picture of those structures that flood more frequently.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So. Okay. Next slide.
Looks like we have a question from Alicia as well.
Okay.
Hey, Ryan, I think, you know, the main reason we're doing this is there's some gaps in data. And I was just curious, are these going to be packaged and sort of refined enough that we can at least share them with the community? If nothing else happens, they at least have this updated, or is it really going to be sort of planning models that are, you know the answers, but they're not going to be bundled in a way that would be useful for somebody else?
I think our... I may have to touch base internally with and discuss what kind of products we'd be developing as part of this. I mean, we certainly could develop mapping products. It's just a matter of how accurate those are. I mean, whatever we developed as part of this model will probably be better than anything that's out there today. The risk is that they're not calibrated because there's really not much to calibrate to, and they are kind of a more BLE type. We could probably have those mapping products and put the caveat in there that these are more high level, but we'll discuss internally and see what's the best product that we can deliver for these as far as mapping is concerned. But
so they, Ryan, should if I could add something there, you know, the hope here is to have this information to update the mapping that we have prepared that is available online. And so this data, while it's not going to be FEMA effective information, it is going to be able to be used for planning by those communities, and we'll update our flood quilt with this information. So great. I think they can use that.
Perfect. Thank you.
And I believe the models will be available too for them to grab and use, since it's a public document. So, okay. Next slide, Sam. If there's no other questions. Okay, I wanted to, so that's kind of the update on doing the modeling for the regional studies. We did at the last meeting have some discussions about the flood early warning system. And so we went, based off the feedback that we got from y'all, we went back and developed a kind of a high level scope of work of what we think could and should be included within this effort. And so I kind of want to run through it, and then maybe y'all can provide any additional feedback if you have any questions or comments on it. So what we're doing and what we want to do is review what's out there right now, what kind of tools are available in the region. Are there cities or communities that already have an early warning system that we could kind of utilize? We want to see where there's gaps in information as far as rainfall or flood gauges. And we want to see what kind of period of record those have. So we're going to go through the whole region and identify where the gauges are, and kind of and also we want to intersect those with the efforts that we did with tasks 1 through 11, where we identified those high flood risk areas or those areas with lacking information, and look at what areas that we can propose and recommend additional gauges would be needed. So again, areas where there's a lack of information, or areas where there's communities who have requested to have flood and rain gauges. So that's more of a research effort on our end, on the gauge side. We also want to coordinate with the relevant agencies, National Weather Service, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, NFIRM, and then obviously USGS, since they'll be managing those gauges, the ones that we recommend. And seeing what tools are out there and seeing how we can implement them or maybe take advantage of some of those tools, especially from the National Weather Service, and make it more of a local regional early warning system. Is that something that we can migrate over into a lower Brazos early warning system? Are there interfaces that we can pull into the website? Things like that. So we're going to be coordinating with those entities and see what tools we can tap into as far as early warning system tools. We did have a discussion already with the National Weather Service. They have a lot of legacy products out there that are helpful. We met with some counties already. They are using the National Weather Service tools already. And so having something that's a little bit more locally focused, I think would be, that is similar to the National Weather Service, but is locally focused, would be helpful to a lot of the communities in the Lower Brazos region. So we're going to look into all of that, and then we'll summarize it and put it together as a list of recommendations. And the end product will probably be either, most likely there'll be flood mitigation strategies that will include recommendations on an early warning system interface, and then recommendation on location and placement of new rain and flood gauges. So, any questions on that scope of work or comments?
Any other comments for Ryan? Excellent. Thank you, Ryan.
Cool. Thank you. So we went back through, just to kind of keep y'all up to date, we went back through the survey that we submitted at the very beginning of this effort, and we kind of wanted to see what the responses were from the different communities in the Lower Brazos region as far as flood warning systems go. So we have a couple of charts here. The one on the top is what existing measures are being taken to promote flood resilience. And flood warning system came up as number four. So there already is an effort in place or a desire to have flood or warning systems in place to promote flood resiliency in a lot of the regions in Lower Brazos. Also, flood management strategies are projects currently ongoing. So there are currently 21 ongoing, or we had 21 responses regarding ongoing efforts to improve or add flood warning systems and gauges to their, I guess, flood response arsenal, I guess. So, and next slide. Again, what are some measures that are currently used by emergency responders? 25 and 24 responses on rainfall and flood gauges. So there is ongoing use of flood gauges for emergency response. And then, are there plans to implement additional emergency responses? Flood gauges is number one, and then rain gauges is further down the line. So I think, in summary, I think flood warning is heavily reliant on flood gauges, and there's a desire to improve and increase their flood resiliency with using flood gauges and early warning systems. So. And then I think this just basically summarizes what I was just saying. This kind of shows spatially the responses that we got. There's a lot of ongoing and plans in place down in the Houston region and the Fort Bend County regions for adding flood gauges and early warning systems, but also spread throughout the upper portion as well. There's a desire and a need to have an early warning system and improve an early warning system for either their local area or potentially as a region. So,
I guess add a little bit to that. So the hope here is with this information that we already had in the survey, we want to follow up with some of these communities to see what their intent is and what their plans are. When do they want to put these in place? And then we'll also do our assessment of the planning region as well to see if there's any other things that come up. And once again, you know, our survey participation was around 20% of the community, so we may reach out to a few more folks and as a result of our analysis, just to see if there's any interest on their end to do some of this work. So that's the scope of work that we've laid out. If there are any issues or questions, let us know, but that's what we'll be moving forward with task 12.
Excellent. Thank you, Sam. Any questions, Sujith?
Thank you, Chair. Sam and Ryan, really appreciate the work on the flood warning system, the scope and all. I want to ask a simple question. You know, once we have some sort of a alert system identified, because currently right now everyone goes to a TV channel or somewhere to get information that where it's flooding or so on and so forth. Are we looking into something like a web-based app or something? Is that part of the thought process and the recommendation so that people can get on their smartphones that if you need to evacuate, this is what it is?
So we'll be looking at that, Sujeet, to make a recommendation. We did visit with the National Weather Service to see what they're doing, and they have within there's a plan in place now to have over the next several years complete coverage of all the tributaries and main stems within the state of Texas. And so there's a plan in place to move that forward. And so our assessment as we continue conversations with the National Weather Service, we say to better identify what their coverage is and how we can make alignment. And see if there's any suggestions that this group can then make to the National Weather Service on what they're planning to do. So we want to dig a little bit deeper. We had a long conversation with the National Weather Service a week or so ago, and just really was trying to look behind the scenes of what they're doing. And it was really neat, some of the stuff they have coming up over the next several years. So we want to bring all that back to you in this document, summarizing and the efficacy of that system and what it would mean to this region. And then also is what would be some of the gaps that would be left out. Well, like one of the things that we did see was while they're looking at main tributaries, it's possible that there'd be some things that would not be picked up, like areas where there's a lot of street flooding from just normal ponding. And we can pick up some of that from the initial Texas Water Development Board data sets that were done at a high level, which showed the pluvial flooding. So we'll be looking at all that and bring that back to you with recommendations, which could be, you know, looking at some sort of, like you were saying, just some sort of system, some sort of website, perhaps, that would have all this information for the public. But what the National Weather Service is doing is really interesting, and they're still working through that process and what it's going to look like in the end. But they have some grand plans for coverage in Texas.
Sam, looks like we have a question from Alicia.
Sam, when you're doing your research, if y'all would not only, I know National Weather Service and then USGS is usually in the middle of all of it. I know they're doing a lot of stuff, but reach out to TDEM, because I think Texas Department of Emergency Management is also working on this. And so I don't want us to narrow in and go, what do we need for Lower Brazos? And it turns out somebody's working on a statewide sort of system. Because like you said, there are a lot of people who are working on pieces and parts. And I know TDEM has been involved in a few things. I don't know if they're ready to take on that kind of initiative, but if they are, then ideally we'd want to just thread in a statewide plan. So let's just make sure we get that data point for your survey. Appreciate it.
Yes, we can do that. Thank you, Alicia.
And one more question from Sujeet.
Brian or Sam, I think, you know, in the initial survey, did we ever ask questions about the evacuation routes or something, or is that something anyone responded?
Oh man, that's a good question. I don't recall that we did put that in there as far as you know, the impact or what folks were doing to alert people about the any impacts of flooding on evacuation routes. I don't believe specifically we had that in there. No,
I don't recall either. I'd have to go back and look.
Well, is that considered to be a new business to be added, or because, you know, we have all these good systems in place, and if people don't know where to go, then, you know, one jurisdiction or other jurisdiction, we're going to have bigger issues.
Yeah, Sujeet, that's a good point. We can certainly include in our assessment where there could be potential issues with evacuation routes that are known at this time. So we can include that in there.
Thank you.
Okay. You want to go ahead and proceed, Sam?
Yes. So this is something that was not in the original package that we provided to you. This came up to us recently. And I did want to bring this to you. So as you recall, at the end of last year, the group decided that we did not want to look at bringing in any additional FMPs into the plan at this point. Now we are starting to see some folks that are wanting to have some of their FMPs added to the plan. And we can do that through the amended plan, is add some of that in. The request would be that anything that is provided does have to be submitted in a manner that does align with the requirements of the Texas Water Development Board so that it can be brought into the plan. And so if you choose to accept these projects, then we can bring them in. And so we did receive some from the city of Stephenville recently, 5 FMPs, and they are part of a FIF study. So the Flood Infrastructure Fund study is already requiring that anything that's being funded through the FIF is already requiring that any projects that are being developed right now would then align with the requirements of the regional flood planning or the state flood plan, I should say. All the information we had to pull together for a project to be considered in as recommended, those that are doing FIF or FIF studies have to prepare those projects in that manner. And so the city of Stephenville is in the process of completing a FIF study for in Erath County, and they have provided the information. We still have not taken a deep dive into it, but their consultant is Friesen Nichols, who's also working with us on this. So everything should align with the requirements of the Texas Water Development Board and should be relatively easy to slide those in. However, we have to bring that to you for your consideration as to whether you would even consider bringing in these FMPs if they align with the requirements of the Texas Water Development Board. So I apologize that this is new. It did come to us very recently. And so the ask is just to put it there for any discussion for the group at this point.
And I do know that on the water planning side, such as regions H and G, there is a process in order to insert things that don't quite fit our schedule or their schedules. So it certainly is possible, and you've outlined a plan. I need some input from the group as to whether or not we're ready to receive such things.
Yeah, Chair, can you elaborate a little bit more on the water process? Do y'all kind of take it once a year to add projects, or
it's as the time?
I feel like it could be chaotic if we just take takers all the time.
No, it's in the water planning sections. It is as they come.
Okay.
I mean, Chair,
they are fairly rare, but they do. It is as they come.
That's true, Gwen. Yes, they are rare.
Chair, if I may, I'll just say, yeah, I mean, the way I look at these is this is supposed to be a locally driven process. These are coming from local entities. And if they can be, you know, fit into all of our requirements, you know, I don't have a problem with including them. It's them engaging in the process, and that's what we want them to do.
Yeah, I think that at this point, you may have a bunch of them coming to you at seemingly random times, but once it becomes more and more well known, like water planning, then it may be less and less as you go on. Any other thoughts or comments or guidance for Sam?
Chair,
yes.
This is Alicia again. So one of my concerns is, though, and this may be a little bit different, is the Water Development Board has put the burden on us and have to re-vet these, you know, to make sure all the stuff's in there. We just can't just slam them in. Where do we stand in budget? And even our consultant's capacity to like stop working on 12 and go do this. And so I don't know whether that's Reich or Sam could help us understand, you know, if everybody's in a sentiment picture perfect, how much time and budget does that take? And do we need to make sure we set some money aside so that we can accommodate all of this?
Well, it looks like Reich has some input for us on this.
Yeah, good morning, y'all. I just wanted to add my 2 cents on this. The FIFCAT 1 projects are being managed by our group, my group, Flood Planning Division specifically. That way we could work with those projects, work with regional flood planning, and make sure that those integrate into our plan, our state flood plan, more easily. I'm not saying we have already reviewed this project for its applicability, but we did have the FIFCAT 1 projects ensure that they had specific language. They were meeting the requirements that would fit within regional flood plans and the state flood plan. So we have been planning on this and have had them include that language and make sure they're doing the required items to easily be included in our plans. But yes, again, vetting them, as Sam said, is being done by y'all, but that option, we did have that conversation with them and have had them planning on being integrated into these plans.
Thank you, Reich. Sujith, you have some comments.
Yes, sir. I think I'm really confused right now because we, Sam, we have on our team, Freezer Nichols, and they were working on this and we were unaware of this one till now. But given, I think, what Alicia said, the schedule and the budget right there, if it's a fifth project, I think maybe as an addendum or something, we got to put, because if you open up the valve right there, there'll be so many other projects, people may want them to be added after the fact that we went through all this exercise right there. So to me, if any fifth project, because it is probably reviewed by, if it is approved, but it's reviewed by TWDB already. So I would say that if we have any of those fifth projects within Lower Brazos, just I would encourage you to put as an addendum right there. So those all could be in the plan.
So if I would suggest here that, you know, definitely the fifth, you know, there's already the Texas Water Development Board has sent out information requiring, you know, HAF is doing several fifth studies as well throughout the state. And we all had to make sure that everything that we're doing will then align with the requirements of the state flood plan. And so I think it's all upon the community or the consultant that's doing that work to make sure everything then aligns with the requirements. For us, as your consultant, we would just make sure that it meets those requirements. If it does not, then we would send it back to them and ask them to make sure it's updated or the information is provided for that. So I don't see this as a huge lift. The bigger issue is when to cut off, right? So I would suggest that we would, if there were anything that did come in, that we'd come back to you at the end of March in our meeting. We'd say, here are the fifth studies that did submit FMPs, and we bring those to you for you to vote on whether to include or not. And then at that point, we would just move forward with finalizing the amendment here, the amended plan. So that's my suggestion, and I think Reich had a question.
Sam, it looks like Ryan. Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to just add my two cents on that since I'm on a couple of fifth projects. The TWDB did, on the fifth side, reach out to us as the fifth project managers to coordinate with the regional flood planning groups. So, for instance, I have a fifth down in Brownsville. They came out and said, hey, if you think your projects that you're developing as part of your study can be done at such and such a date, then please coordinate with RFBG now. And so we did that. So there is initiative, and there has been communication, I believe, throughout most of the state, but the fifth, that there needs to be coordination between the fifth project managers and the regional flood planning so that we're on the same time schedule where we know what expectations are required, what needs to be done, and when. So there is all that coordination happening in the background. I don't think any of these are going to be big surprises. There's one other fifth project in the Lower Brazos region, and HAF is actually doing it. We're not really sure it's going to fit in the timeline. We're still kind of coordinating that internally here, but I just wanted to kind of put that out there that these aren't surprises. There's communication happening in the background as far as deadlines and what needs to be delivered and when. So.
All right, thank you. Sam, you have anything else you need to talk about?
No, the only thing I would say here is just on this, that we can bring you a list. If there's any other FMPs that come up, we'll bring those to you in March. And we would just say that if anybody brings any, that's the after March, we'd have to go into the next plan.
Yeah, you might consider having a discussion about maybe establishing a schedule or something like that. Alicia can give you guidance on that.
So the last thing that I have here is just in our February meeting, I don't have anything on there because it's something that really we'll be working on a lot of things. We really wouldn't have much more to update on other than just a status of where things are on our end. We would have an update for you in March. We'd come back with
the existing conditions for the areas that we are studying and projects that we've potentially identified, discuss those, get feedback from the group or the public as to whether those projects that we would be looking at developing would align with the goals of that area, and then just give you an update on the flood warning system progress. So that is all I have, and I've turned it back over to you.
Excellent. Thank you, Sam. Any follow-up questions anyone might have on this for Sam?
Nope.